Well, you can turn in your Bibles to that passage that was read for us. And actually, we're going to look at a few different passages, and that's one of the passages that we will refer to this morning. But we want to continue talking about prayer, as we have been the last 3 weeks now. We talked about praying for others, the prayer of intercession and the importance of that. We talked about the prayer of confession last week. And we looked at David's life in reference to that, and particularly Psalm 51. We talked about our confidence in prayer that comes from, you know, the way we walk before the Lord, the way we are consistent in our prayer life, the way we're consistent in holiness. And we looked at the examples of Joshua and Hannah for that. And this morning, we want to continue thinking about prayer and talking about the prayer of thanksgiving and the importance of thanksgiving in the life of a Christian. You know, as Christians, we are called to thank the Lord. Actually, as all people, we're called to thank the Lord. If you read for Romans chapter 1, one of the condemnations that God brings against the world, against people, is that we people fail to acknowledge him and give him thanks. It says that very clearly in Romans chapter 1. I think it's in verse 23 or so. They fail to give him thanks. That's fundamental to our existence, is to give God thanks. Much more so for us as Christians, because when we give thanks to God, we are expressing worship for him. We're expressing our gratitude for his providence. We are expressing our absolute and unshakable trust in him. We are saying, like David says a little bit later, we look at it, you know, I don't deserve it, but you've given these things to me, and I'm grateful to you for these things. And so thankfulness is such a fundamental characteristic, if you like, of the Christian life. It ought to be. If we truly look to the Lord for his providence, if we truly trust in the Lord. Now, so much has happened in the last few weeks. Many of us, you know, have been through a hard time. Many of us have lost close friends, loved ones, which is exceedingly difficult. I know several of you in the congregation that have suffered loss at this time, and I can't imagine what it must feel like to be in that position. We have lost some of our close friends. I mean, one person from DBF Central, who, when I was a pastor there for a few years, we were very close to that family, and this father worked very hard to save his son, who had problems with his liver, needed a liver transplant. And I remember going through that with the family. You know, we used to visit, pray with them. We raised funds, and we did all that we could, and they actually got the surgery done. The boy is well and fine today, but his father died of COVID about a month ago. And so that's just, you know, heartbreaking when you think of that. Another friend of ours from DBF Gurgaon congregation, his wife died of COVID, and he's got two young daughters as well. And then there's, you know, so many other stories, so many that you know of as well. And so as I was thinking about this, I was wondering, you know, is it possible for us to give thanks to God when things don't go the way we want them to? I don't want to just talk about Thanksgiving in general. I want to actually get a little bit deep into this point and think about this. Is it possible for us to give thanks to God when things don't go as we hope they would? When we don't get what we want, in that sense, when we lose something or we fail at something, can we still give thanks to God? It's easy to thank the Lord when, you know, we get the job we want, or, you know, our bank balance goes up, or our health improves and we recover from something, or whatever, you know, we have a good biryani in front of us and we say, yeah, thank you, Lord, for this. And, you know, it's easy to thank the Lord at those times. But what about when it isn't so good, when it is difficult and painful and hard? You know, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in what? In all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That is a startling verse for me. You know, we know it. I know it from Sunday school, but we just stop and think about what he's saying over here. He's saying, give thanks in all circumstances. And then he goes on to say, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's God's will for you and me to give thanks not just in the good circumstances, but in all circumstances. You know, yesterday we got to know someone close to us as a family who has been undergoing treatment for endometriosis cysts. That's a condition where that could turn cancerous, you know, and it's basically cysts in the ovaries that many women do struggle with, and it could turn cancerous in that sense. And so she's a young mom of two kids, and this isn't the best news in the world. And so as I was preparing the sermon, I sent her a message and I said, how do you understand 1 Thessalonians 5:18? Like, what is your understanding of it as you go through this? And so she recorded a long voice message and sent it back to me. And basically, she gives me a little bit of a background about how this thing started a few years ago and how God has been shaping her mind and heart through this time. She's come to understand so much more, she said in her message, of how much she needs Jesus, how much she is dependent on his strength, on his presence in her life, and how she's learned to take one day at a time. She sees God's purpose in shaping her dependence on him and trusting him to fulfill her purpose in his life. And so she's got a larger perspective on this. And she says, you know, I've got to trust God for the bigger things that God might be doing in this. And so I was really encouraged by her perspective. And she said a few more things, you know, but she's a young mom. She's in her mid-30s. She's got two little children who are, you know, under 6 or 7 years old. But what a perspective on this. And I think it's so important for us to think about thanking the Lord in all circumstances. Can we do it? And we want to think about that a little bit more deeper this morning. So I want to show you three examples in the Bible of people who prayed prayers of thanksgiving, often in extremely challenging situations. That's the thing I love about the Bible, right? The Bible is not full of heroes. The Bible is full of people who are like us. They have messed up situations. They have challenging situations. They have health problems. They have relational problems. They have financial problems. They have sin problems. They have so many things going on. Most of the characters in the Bible, barring a couple of people where we don't really see much except their amazing things out of their life, but they all go through difficult times. And I love this about scripture because we can identify with it easily enough and try and understand how they went through it. And so let's look at a few of these this morning. The first one is David, you know, King David, the great King David. And we speak of him, you know, with such a sense of awe and respect. Maybe not after last week. Maybe last week you think, ooh, this guy, you know, he messed up a little bit. But generally speaking, we've got this great view of David, right? I mean, he's the one who put Goliath to death, and he's the one who did this and did that, and he was the one who was after God's own heart. And yet, when you read through the scriptures and you pay careful attention, you will notice that David went through tremendous hardship in his life, tremendous hardship. He spent years and years on the run from his enemies. And at one of those times in Psalm 34, when he had just escaped Abimelech, the Philistine, he writes these words in Psalm 34, verses 1 to 3. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times, not sometimes, not a few times, but at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Or in Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3, he writes, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined his ear to hear my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog. He set my feet on the rock, making my steps secure. And then he says in verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Again, through hardship. Or when he was on the run from the Ziphites and Saul, King Saul, was after him and was conspiring with the Ziphites to get a hold of David. And I think you read this in 1 Samuel chapter 25. It was really, really close. They were, you know, he was on his heels literally. And David writes this Psalm 54, verses 3 to 6. He says this, for strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. He says over here, they do not set God before themselves, Selah. God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life. He will return the evil to my enemies, and your faithfulness put an end to them. With a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. And then he says, I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. In all of these Psalms that I've read, David comes to praise. He comes to an adoration and a worship for God. And we see this throughout David's life and over the years. And in many, many of the Psalms, it was not an uncommon theme in David's prayers. Most of them are Psalms of thanksgiving, but they were all written in adversity, in difficulty, in challenge. Toward the end of his life, just before he died, you know, David could have looked back and felt a lot of anguish and bitterness about what had happened. But he prays a prayer of thanksgiving. And let me, look at these words with you, this beautiful prayer of thanksgiving. He says over here in 1 Chronicles 29, 10 to 15, therefore David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. And then I love this. He says, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able to thus offer willingly or generously? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. You know, David had been through a lot, and from the triumphs that he experienced, most of his life was difficult. In fact, you know, from Psalm 51, which we looked at last week, it was from then quite a downhill movement in David's life. His own son, Absalom, rebelled against him, killed his brother, and was finally put to death. And that brought tremendous grief to David, because his own kingdom, between his own family members, there was so much of pain, so much of hardship, so much of loss. And, you know, you and I, we struggle with this, because we often get stuck looking back in the past. We often get stuck thinking back to the last 10 years, 12 years, 15 years. If only I did this, if only I did that, if only this thing went this way. And we get stuck with bitterness, and we get stuck with a real feeling of loss and failure and anguish over that. And we're not able to move on. And David could have easily been in that position. But at the end of the life of his life, he chose to thank the Lord. He chose to look upon all that had happened in his life and give glory to God and give worship and praise to God, understanding and having that overarching perspective that God would work all things out, and that God ultimately triumphs in our lives. He brings out his good purposes. And I love that perspective at the end. You know, he says, who am I? Who am I? And what are my people that we should be doing this and giving to you? Everything we have is from you. And that's the root of thanksgiving. A thankful person is a person who says, is not a person who says, you know what, I deserve this. No. A thankful person is a person who says, I don't deserve this, and I'm grateful that it's been given to me. And if you and I can have that perspective on our life, like David had, it would help us understand what thanksgiving really, really is. And so we thank the Lord simply because he is worthy. That's the first observation, if you like. Why do we give thanks to the Lord? We thank him because he is worthy. That's what David did. The second person that we want to have a quick look at is the person of Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see her in the Gospels. You know, Mary was a young woman, a virgin, we're told. She was betrothed or engaged to Joseph. And at that time, the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, came to her and announced to her that she would conceive of the Holy Spirit and give birth to a son. You know, we usually read this at Christmas time, and it's always that warm, fuzzy, Christmassy feeling, you know, this little manger scene, and or just before the manger scene, Mary receiving this vision, and we kind of, you know, read over it without really thinking about the immensity of what Mary was listening to at that point. What she was hearing from the words of Gabriel, the angel. Just think about it for a moment. How overwhelming those words would have been to this young girl when the angel came to her and said these things. How her life was going to be turned completely upside down when she listened to these words. What would Joseph think about all this? And she didn't yet know that the angel was also speaking to Joseph. But at that point, what would Joseph think about all this? How would she explain being pregnant without being married? What would people say? I mean, how do you deal with all this? Pregnancy is hard enough, and having a child is hard enough. And then to go through something like this and to have an announcement like this made to her is just, it blows your mind, doesn't it? But she said to the angel in Luke 1:38, "Let it be to me according to your word." And then Mary, we're told in Luke, she said, it tells us that she went to the home of her relative Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, sorry about that. I'm getting a call on my phone and I can't even do airplane mode because it'll cut you all off. All right. Here we go again. Four times I've cut it and they keep calling back. All right, here we go. Let's refocus. And so she goes to Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard this greeting, it says that the baby in Elizabeth's womb, that's John, leaped for joy, or, you know, just with the response to that. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke to Mary. And she said, you know, a few different things. At the end of that, she says in verse 45, Luke chapter 1:45, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of the word spoken to her from the Lord." And I want you to notice that. Blessed is she who what? Believed. You see, in the midst of this overwhelming announcement that would have cast fear into her life and surprised her and shocked her, Mary chose to believe in the goodness of God. She chose to believe in the goodness of God. When we choose to believe in the goodness of God, thankfulness can flow. When you choose to believe in the goodness of God, gratitude can flow. If you choose to ignore the goodness of God, you're only going to be bitter. You're only going to grumble and complain about your circumstances. But Mary chose to believe in the goodness of God. And so Mary, and we see this in the song, in the song of thanksgiving that she breaks out into, the song or the prayer of thanksgiving that we see in Luke chapter 1, 46 to 49. And I'll read a couple of verses. Actually, it's more than 49, but I'll read a couple of verses to you. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name." And this was before the baby Jesus was born. This was at the start of everything. Right after she had heard this announcement, she goes into this celebration because she chose to believe in the goodness of God. We give thanks to the Lord. Here's my second observation about Thanksgiving. We give thanks to the Lord because we believe in his goodness. We believe in his goodness. Thanksgiving is a powerful way to express our faith in God. It helps you counter fear when in faith you focus on who God is and you see his goodness in all that he has done. You see, in thanksgiving, we take the attention of ourselves. Oh my goodness, look at all that I'm going through, the pain, the suffering, the anguish. You take it off yourself and you look to God and you say, God, you're good and you're worthy and you're great and you're glorious and you're mighty and you're all wise and you're all knowing. All good things come from you. And so we turn our attention to God in thanksgiving. So important. And so Mary believed in the goodness of God, and that's why she breaks into this thanksgiving. Even before all of those things had come to pass in her life, she chose to believe in the Lord and to thank him because he's a good God. And so we give thanks to the Lord, not just in the times of plenty, in the times of good, in the times of prosperity, but even in the most difficult and challenging times, we give thanks to him in all circumstances because we believe that he is good. We believe that he is good. And like Romans 8:28 says, and he works all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Do you believe in the goodness of God? Even as you face loss, and nobody is downplaying the grief and the loss, and absolutely, when you go through it, you got to grieve, you got to weep over it. But like David, and like Mary, and like Paul, who we look at, and several others, we come to thanksgiving because we believe in the goodness of God. And the third example of someone who prayed with thanksgiving is Paul himself. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote those well-known words in Philippians chapter 4, 4 to 7. I've quoted a lot of different scripture. You can just write down the references and maybe look at it. But Philippians 4, 4 to 7, where he says this, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Beautiful, isn't it? Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know where Paul wrote these words from? He was sitting in prison. He wasn't sitting, you know, in a cool, comfortable, air-conditioned room on Zoom with the rest of the Philippian church. No, he was sitting in prison. And prison was harsh and difficult, far worse than what it is even today. He was sitting in chains, and he wrote these words to the church. And we know this from Philippians chapter 1. He talks about how his imprisonment has served to advance the gospel. Look at that perspective. He says, I want you to know that my imprisonment has served to advance the gospel because I've been able to tell the whole imperial guard, my guard, the soldiers standing around me, about Jesus. What perspective on suffering, on difficulty? And in fact, this letter to the Philippians is called the letter of joy because there are so many references to joy. I think there's like 5 or 6 references to joy and 5 or 6 references to rejoicing in a small little letter like this. And so it's called the letter of joy. And I love the perspective that he has. And you know what? I think sometimes we can look at the pandemic and look at the lockdown and the difficulties we're going through and feel like it's a prison of sorts. Well, can you rejoice in the midst of it, like Paul did? Can you rejoice? Can we rejoice in the times like this? And, you know, listen to the words of Paul in Philippians 1, 18 to 20. He says, yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. Now, what deliverance is he talking about? Is he saying I'm going to get out of jail and I know that for a fact? Actually not. Look at what he says in verse 20. He says, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. So what deliverance are you talking about, Paul? If you're going to die, what deliverance is that? Well, it's there. He says, I will not at all be ashamed. I will not be ashamed. I will be strong in the Lord. Whatever comes my way, I know that God is going to be with me. I know that I have his presence. And sure, Paul, you know, there were times where he experienced deliverance of a physical kind, where he was taken out of the situation. But eventually, Paul died a martyr's death as an apostle of Christ. But he rejoices in the Lord in these situations. You see, Paul had an unshakable confidence in the Lord. And that's why he was able to give thanks to the Lord. He knew that what was coming at him, the soldiers, the spears, the knives, the prison, all of the hardship, all of the difficulty, and even the fact that he would one day lose his life for the sake of the gospel, it was a real possibility from where he was concerned. He said, no, my confidence is in the Lord. And because my confidence is in the Lord, I can thank him. You see, if your confidence is in your flesh or in your in people around you or in your bank balance or in your job or your skill, and those things become shaky, they're not always going to be there for you. You're going to struggle with thankfulness. You're going to struggle with gratitude in your life. But if it can be in the Lord, who is unshakable, immovable, a solid foundation for our lives, then you can always remain thankful, can't you? And Paul did this through all kinds of situations. You read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 onwards. He chronicled the kinds of difficulties that he went through, the shipwreck, the being beaten, being stoned, being in danger from thieves and robbers at night and in day. Just a list of things that he had to endure and face. Most of the time, he says, we despaired of life itself. We were on the brink of death. And yet, the same man is able to rejoice in the Lord because his confidence was in the Lord. And I was thinking about this. I'm like, what was Paul looking at? What was Paul thinking about at those times? And we get a glimpse of it in 2 Corinthians and Colossians. Let me read one verse for you, a couple of verses for you from 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18, where he writes, he says, so we do not lose heart. And I say to you this morning, do not lose heart. Doesn't matter what. Do not lose heart. And then listen to what Paul says. He says, though our outer self is wasting away. And that can be, you know, of course, it speaks of our physical bodies and our beings in this world, but even metaphorically extended to the world, outer things are wasting away. They're passing away. They're perishing. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us. And I love that, right? He's been through things that you and I will probably never go through in our life. And he says, he calls it what? Light and momentary afflictions. Amazing. Is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. That's what he was looking at. His eyes were fixed on God. His eyes were fixed on heaven. Colossians, he urges the church, he says, you know, set your minds where? On things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. What a perspective. What a perspective. And I think if you and I can stop setting our confidence on this world, upon doctors and hospitals, and again, I'm not saying that we should not do wise things like taking medication and doing vaccination. Not at all. I'm not trying to be weird about this. Do those things. But ultimately, your confidence is not in those things, is it? It should not be in those things. Because those things can fail, and they often will fail. Our confidence is in the Lord. Is in the Lord. You know, what Abhishek shared with us this morning, I totally understand that. And, you know, I've shared with the elders my own struggles with anxiety and real fear that I faced over those 2-3 weeks that, you know, our family went through COVID, and particularly because Sharon was her health was touch and go. You know, her oxygen several times dropped down to 91, 92. The doctors said, you've got to be prepared to go to a hospital. I tried calling up through some of you church people as well to find a hospital bed. Sharon was not willing to go to a hospital. She said, I'm going to stay at home and I'm going to recover. And, you know, but it was exceedingly difficult for me. 3 weeks as I lay next to her every night, hoping that she was breathing and hoping that her oxygen levels were normal, and dreading the next time I would have to put that oximeter on her hand and check her oxygen. Just the fear, I tell you. And, you know, I came through that and I look back on it and I said, why was I so afraid? And for one, it is normal and it is something that we will go through. But I also think that I was probably looking too much at controlling things from myself, you know, just trying to make sure that I had control of the situation. And through those days, some of the sweetest times that I had were times on my face, literally in my study, crying out to God for his deliverance. And you know what? That's the only place I could go to. And I was thinking about it last night and I was like, Lord, you brought us through it. And maybe next time something else will happen. And, you know, maybe the outcome won't be as great, but to learn to have that confidence in the Lord is really what God takes us through these things for. Not that they will all be an absence of fear and anxiety. We probably will struggle with it. But to learn to grow in our confidence in the Lord is what I have been really challenged by, you know, through this time. Life is difficult. And God doesn't promise us everything to be hunky-dory and cushy and rosy. But he promises to be with us. He assures us that he's a good God, and Mary saw that and she believed in him. And he shows us and demonstrates to us that he is a great God, and Paul believed in that, the greatness of God, the absolute unshakable greatness of God, and his confidence was in the Lord. And that's where you and I need to turn. And when we do that, we will be able to be thankful. We will be people of gratitude. We will be people of gratitude, not grumbling, not bitter, but people of gratitude. We give thanks to the Lord because he is worthy. We give thanks to the Lord because we believe in his goodness. And we give thanks to the Lord because our confidence is in his greatness. You know, one of the songs that has ministered to me many, many times is a song by Jeff and Sherry Easter. And it's a, you know, tremendous blessing, the words of the song. And let me read these words, a few words from the song to you before Sharon sings it for us. Here are these words. Here's what she sings. When everything falls apart, praise his name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me. And he'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise his name. When you feel you can't go on, just raise your hands and say, greater is he that is within me, and you can praise the hurt away if you just praise his name. It's about thanksgiving, right? And when you go through pain and hardship, and all of us will, maybe we are right now, maybe we will in the future, come to thanksgiving. Come to praise. It will help you look at God and turn your eyes away from the situation and the circumstance. But it will help you see God's goodness, God's greatness, and how worthy he is. Let's listen to this song. Let it minister to your hearts at this time. Praise his name. Thank you.
Just raise your hands and say,